Welcome back. Second hour. Perspectives on America. Jeffrey Bennett on this 24th day of April. In 2 months, I will be in Chicago for a few days. Well, not Chicago. I'll be in Joliet. We're scheduled to head back in that direction for the official wedding of our eldest granddaughter. They've been married for a while, but you know, they want to take it to church and all this good stuff, whatever they're doing. With my horrific sleeping habits lately, I have concerns about my health issues. I'm not feeling bad. I went through about 6 weeks of the most amazing energy I've had in years. And stress has kind of strained me a little bit. Stress with what's going on in this nation, around the world. Much of the same kind of things we just discussed during the first hour of today's program. Yeah, there's things I say on the air that I'm sure are offensive to some of our listeners. I have this tendency of reaming the listeners out upon occasion, because I sit there and go over some pieces that I wrote and published over 20 years ago. And then I sit there and realize what's changed. Nothing. Things in this nation have gotten worse. Politically, certainly spiritually. I sit there at my age of 76 plus, and I continue to keep myself involved with these battles, this war that we're in. And one of the ways I do it is through this programming. One of the ways I do it is continued challenging of listeners, many of whom I'm afraid of, tired of it all. They've gotten into the habit of tuning in to whatever broadcasts they're listening to, whether it's here on RBN or whether it's elsewhere. And too many are being entertained. they're not getting up, being involved with the battles that are necessary. They keep voting for Democrats because they've been raised as a Democrat all their life, or a Republican because they've been raised as a Republican all their life. The Democrats and Republicans today aren't the same mentality of that which they were so many decades ago and so many hundred years ago. They have no meaning. They're anti-American is what they truly are. They're standing up for themselves. Because it's big bucks coming in from corporatocracy. Come on, how much money do we keep peddling to Israel every single year? What the hell for? And they turn around, take some of that money and send it back over to this country to make sure that those in political field will go ahead and vote to send them more money next year? Frankly, I'm sick and tired of it all. And so the question that I pose to you happens to be the title of Charles Dickens, one of his latest columns. Who are you to tell me what to do? Now think about this for a bit. Proverbs 16:18 states that pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. It means that people who are overconfident or too arrogant are likely to fail. Yeah. Title comes from Proverbs. Charles will occasionally use biblical quotes and proverbs because they are insightful and intuitive. And because the wisdom and the common sense they contain is universally appropriate regardless of the source. Charles claims he's not religious, but he is aware. Proverbs, a book of the Christian Bible, believed to have been written between 970 and 697 BC, or thereabouts. Interestingly enough, a book of Jewish wisdom, composed in Hebrew to educate Jewish readers. Amazingly, it's appropriate to our modern times, 2,860 years later, give or take a few. In case you're wondering, it's the year 5,784 on the Hebrew calendar. Now, the term BCE stands for before the common era, and CE for common era. And these are secular terms defining references to historic eras. AD stands for Anno Domini, which is Latin for in the year of the Lord. You know, you guys are driving me crazy with all this texting you're doing. Yes, I'm doing my show. What do you think, Maggie? I've got more texts coming in on this program today. I must be getting to some folks. AD stands for Anno Domini. Latin for in the year of the Lord. The old way of counting years based on the estimated birth of Jesus Christ. BC stands for before Christ. It's a way of counting years before his estimated birth. AD starts with the year 1, continues to the present day. The Gregorian calendar places the year 0 as the year Christ was supposedly born. The Hebrew calendar's year 0 is when 12th century Jewish philosopher Maimonides calculated the creation of the world. And so by Maimonides' calculations, the new Jewish year will be 5,784. So according to those whose way you choose, it's either 2025, 2024, or maybe it's 5,784. If we continue down this rabbit hole, we'll probably lose most of you, so I'll stop here. You know, like so many historic texts, Proverbs conveys the universality of common sense. After all, it's the basis for wisdom, because wisdom is just applied common sense. It was humankind that corrupted this sanity, warping it to fit their narratives and purposes. Ah, but one must remember the end justifies the means, my friends. The Dictionary of American Aphorisms includes more than 15,000 adages, maxims and sayings commonly used in the English language. All of them embody wisdom in colloquial terms. Its unofficial title is American Proverbs. Oh, man. Who in the hell do we think we are? My friend Charlie recalled a recording by the British musical group The Who, the one we opened with, Who Are You? The lyrics were a bit obscure and difficult to interpret into American English. Colloquial British idioms are sometimes quite difficult to translate, being based on local grammatic idiosyncrasies. But the song title started Charles thinking about this commentary. Who are you? Charles lumbers through the news feeds the morning he wrote this column, as he does each day, drinking his morning coffee. I'm sitting there sharing this to you, drinking my afternoon coffee. And yet, what does Charles come across? Stories about the anti-American and anti-Israel protests that blocked travel in several cities. Reports mention that the protesters are all radical Democrats, mostly immigrants and immigrant sympathizers, condemning America's support for Israel. The story then went into some detail about America's demands for the Israeli government. Apparently, Chucky Schumer demands a new election to replace the existing one, hostile toward Hamas, recommending that the Israeli people revolt against the current administration because they will not follow American directions for a two-state settlement for Palestine and Israel. One of the included images showed people burning the American flag, holding placards saying, "Death to America," and chanted by the crowd. Oh, please note that they were all in America. You know, it's interesting. I've been a student of history my majority of my life. I truly began to get into it in the fifth grade. Mr. Adair, history has fascinated me. There's so much we can learn from history. If we go back and begin to repeat some of the things that were done to straighten out our problems. When I sit there reading this piece about people not following American directions for a two-state settlement for Palestine and Israel, it angers me. Some years ago, I was over in Scottsdale, across town, and I happened to go into an art gallery. That's the year that my friend Richard and I had done the Barrett Jackson car auction. And we're selling Richard's art, as well as some of the collectible pieces that I'd acquired throughout most of my life. And this guy and his wife came by, and were looking through some of our stuff. I had an amazing collection of Christian art. Right this minute, I'm going to... Doré. A phenomenal collection of art by Doré, and all biblically based stuff. And this guy bought two of our pieces. Not for his store, he bought it for he and his wife. The only thing he didn't like about it is the the mounting that we had done. He did not care for the color of it. And I said, I'll tell you what. Tell me what you want. I'll have it done for you. And I had it done, and I took it out to deliver him. And I started looking through what he had available in his gallery. I was looking at maps that he had for sale that had been produced back in the 1100s. Maps of the world, various different parts of the world. And I come across this one map that just really drew my attention. And on the map was a fairly large piece of land called Palestine. There was no reference to Israel. Only Palestine. What happened in 1948? All of a sudden, Palestine began to disappear. And it all became for Israel. American buckos supporting it all. And yet we face in this nation free speech in action. But does free speech allow blocking traffic or preventing people from traveling? The First American or the First Amendment mentions the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. What we see today seems peaceful, but preventing people from accessing travel or pursuing their normal activities stretches the intent of the amendment. But isn't that what Americans do? Don't we tend to push everything to its limit, extending a bit more each time until these peaceful demonstrations cost billions of dollars in damages and multiple lives? Like those of Nancy Pelosi's Summer of Love protests or the BLM riots supporting drug addiction and violent noncompliance by people like George Floyd? Recall historical accounts of mass murder in many countries like China during Mao Zedong's communist revolution. Mao, Lenin, Stalin eliminated communist dissidents by killing millions of them during their revolt. The message in these incidents and realization of their goals was to deter future dissension, to discourage any future recurrence. And apparently it worked. And these countries are communist strongholds today. Did America's protests for war stop communism's advance? Will these immigrants and immigrant sympathizers have any impact on our political stand with Israel or Iran or China? How many of the thousands of participants were citizens versus invaders? How is this illegal action different from the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol? Yeah, you're right. But you see, January 6th serves the Nationalist American Socialist Party's purposes. And these protests do not. Equal justice and treatment under the law? Now they're discovered another insurrectionist to persecute. The stepson of a TV star. Will it ever end? Oh, I'm sorry, it's an election year. The NASP needs to smear more innocent people to prove it was all Trump's fault. Does Joey's open border policy play a role in any of this or have an impact on federal immigration policy? Will congressional entreaties impact the government of Israel? And these stories and so many others, well, you can't call them news anymore because they're more fiction than fact, but they call to mind multiple accounts of American ire about the CCP. Oh, Joey's home world and their treatment of their people, things like organ harvesting and Uyghurs, lockdowns for new COVID-19, failing economics, infrastructure, collapses, suppressing information, etc. Our government's got all the answers. And the American sheeple add their input to solve China's problems or become apoplectic with about reported dubious and questionable events half a world away. I mean, come on, do you trust what you see from the corporate media complex? I don't even watch it. Oh, and by the way, the chinky dings consider us an ineffectual object of ridicule. We are their useful idiots. Charlie's immediate action was, who the fornication under consent of king do we think we are? How do we have the audacity to tell another country how to run their government? Especially when ours is a global laughingstock. And probably intergalactically for all we know. Real simple, folks. America, as we knew it, is on the verge of collapse. The negatives are all well known, so we won't cite the catalog. We all know them. And what strikes one was the assuredness and the chutzpah of Scummer. Up Chucky Scummer, a Jewish American, actually believes he knows what's best for that nation and its 9.5 million people. Mind you, he and his ilk have destroyed America with their fakakta. That's Yiddish for silly or ridiculous ideas of government. Assuming those bupkis. Nothing. He knows dreck. Which translates to shit. And this instance is only one of the hundreds of examples that we've encountered over the past several years. Each of those presupposes that we know best for everyone else. Oh, the unbelievable, the unmitigated audacity and arrogance of Americans. If we're so damn smart, why can't we fix our own problems? We have all the answers, so we allege. It's simply blatant American hubris. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Matthew 5, verses 3 to 5. Matthew's passage reminds us that we often pass judgment on others to keep from examining ourselves as individual people and as a nation. It's obnoxiously and hypocritically wrong. Before we start removing someone else's grain of sand, we'd better get the blinding boulder out of our way. Discovered is too direct for many people searching for the deeper meaning in these axioms, often missing the simplicity of the message. First, look in the mirror. How revealing would that be? Which is precisely why we don't do it. We follow the example set by our government to deflect the responsibility to someone or something else. It was all my predecessor's fault. That sound familiar? Here's another oldie and goldie. People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Written in the year 1385 by Chaucer. It means that people or countries with the same or similar faults should not criticize others for those faults. That was 639 years ago, my friends, and it still applies. Which proves the following, or the follow-on adage, those who cannot remember the past are doomed to repeat it. Santayama. We will close this segment of this hour by one of Charles Dickens' favorite quotes. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Albert Einstein. How we've made it into the 21st century is beyond me. We should have blown ourselves up or extinguished all life on this planet several times, most recently with the Wuhan virus. Now, that could have easily been an extinction-level event, a life-ending epidemic, but we got lucky this time. Ah, my friends, it's Russian roulette with an automatic weapon. Chances are that somewhere in the secret lab in some third-world country where we have an understanding, wink, wink, scientists are engineering and gene-splicing pathogens to create the next super virus, but under strict safety protocols and in a totally secure lab, of course, just like Wuhan. We live in a glass house. We throw stones at our neighbors. We have boulders in our eyes but insist on removing the sand from others. We tinker and toy with the wonders of the universe for the good of mankind, never understanding the implication or ramifications of our actions. When in the hell will we learn that our cavalier and anecdotal approach to science is hubris? It's simple. We are the proverbial monkey with a machine gun. Too few of the leaders on this planet have the awareness to stop projecting their faults and problems onto others, but we follow them like dutiful sheeple. It's where we've acquired the tendency to follow blindly, never questioning or challenging their ludicrous assertions or decisions. We seem to be contented to follow the leader. How do they work for Germany, China, Russia, Middle Eastern countries? When you examine the policies and programs prevalent in America, one can appreciate their lunacy when measuring their success. Our open border is a prime example. Every city in this country is buckling under the financial burden of this heinous political blunder, but the leadership of American government is committed to destroying this republic for political and their own personal gain. How can they even pretend to counsel another country or suggest becoming more like America? How in the hell dare they? It's all demented, crazy, insane, mad, unbalanced, deranged, crazed, lunatic. That doesn't stop our politicians from recommending that the world follow our counsel and advice. Don't base your decisions on the advice of those who don't have to deal with the results. Quote Kushan Wisdom. And finally, in the words of Sir Francis Bacon, he that gives good advice builds with one hand. He that gives good counsel and example builds with both. But he that gives good admonition and bad example builds with one hand and pulls down with the other. And that, my friends, is what I believe we're facing. Does one begin to understand? I would certainly hope so, but one never knows, do they? I'm not sure that I know anymore. We continue to come in here and reach out each and every day as much as we can. I tire of it, but I can't stop. I cannot stop. I recently came across a piece that I compiled. I will not claim to have written it because I know better than that. It's brief. I'm going to share it with you. Something that I published in July of 2002, on the first edition of the Federal Observer. It is my right to be uncommon, if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I want to take the calculated risk to dream and to build, to fail, to succeed. I refuse to barter incentive for a dole. I prefer the challenges of life to the guaranteed existence, the thrill of fulfillment to the soul calm of utopia. I will not trade freedom for beneficence, nor my dignity for a handout. I will never cower before any master nor bend to any threat. It is my heritage to stand erect and proud and unafraid, to think and act for myself, enjoy the benefits of my creations, to face the world boldly and say, this I have done. And this is what it means to be an American. My friends, if you will not fight for right when you can easily win without bloodshed, and if you will not fight when your victory is sure and not too costly, may come to the moment when you will have to fight with all the odds against you and only a precarious chance of survival. And there may even be a worse case. You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves. It is better to live one day as a lion than 100 years as a sheep. That is the right to be uncommon. Stay with us. I'll be right back. I've got an appointment with Kim. I think. Be there, Michael? Guess not. He's probably down the hall. What I've just shared with you, I obviously have not written. I cannot recall who wrote it. It's entitled The Right to Be Uncommon. It says much. It challenges even more. We have it published at federalobserver.com again. My friend Charles has been not writing as much as he had for quite a while. But then all of a sudden, a number of things begin to click in. He says he'd been waffling about continuing his writing. He'd kind of backed off from writing several months ago because he saw the futility in opening minds and realized that indoctrination and programming were too deeply ingrained, moving the improbability marker to 9.8. out of 10, meaning that any chance of success was extremely low. But being the optimist that Charles is, you know the rest. But his only hope is that somewhere in the 330 million people in America, or nearly 8 billion people in the world, there might be a few willing to consider a disparate opinion or diverse point of view. Maybe. Maybe Charles could just reach a few curious minds. Or maybe he's just deluded. Am I alone, Charles asks, facing this daunting task and dilemma? He says he feels like he's pissing on a forest fire, hoping to put it out, or into the ocean, expecting an appreciable rise in the level. In any given moment, we have two options: to step forward into growth or to step back into safety. Abraham Maslow. It's painfully obvious where America stands. We've traded our liberty for security time and time again. And now we have a national security theater, plausible deniability, politically weaponized government branches branding parents as domestic terrorists, and goaded protesters as insurrectionists. We expect and accept a steady stream of lies from politicians. We live in a divided republic on the verge of collapse. We're poised on the brink of World War III, expecting the people that brought us here to regain consciousness and take steps to sue for peace rather than war. Who in the hell's deluded here? Charles recently shared some of his thoughts with a friend and was promptly told that he was totally wrong. And his friend explained that Charles' opinion was completely flawed based on the difference in the news feeds that he reads and the fact that the information in California is correct and what Charles receives in Arizona is categorically inaccurate. Charles' friend's statement was, no, you don't realize that what you think and believe is based on the fake news you get in Arizona. And it's all wrong. The news we get in California is correct and true. And I know because I checked it with other sources like Breitbart, the Washington Post, and the New York Times. Charles' dogmatic friend began. He started Charles thinking about the dichotomy of it all. Charles began considering his efforts from a unique and peculiar perspective. That maybe his enthusiasm was waning. Again, why bother? An opinion, my friends, it's a statement. It expresses a feeling, an attitude, a value judgment or belief. It's a statement that is neither true nor false, or it may feel true for some, but false for others. So here we are then. There's no middle ground, no compromise, no neutral territory. One and only one opinion. Obviously the left one. But the right is wrong. So Charles, as acerbic friends, so-called system of principles and tenets concerning faith and morals, behavior and personal beliefs tell him that Charles is wrong. And I must be wrong. And a good number of you out there listening tonight, you must also be wrong. So be it. But assertions of this order cause one to consider my position. Charles rethinks and reassesses his viewpoint. Maybe he is wrong. Charles says he can adjust as that he deems appropriate, but only after investigating his original position. Am I either willing to adjust or adapt or dig in my heels unyieldly? He says, I'm not changing my opinion on these points. My stance is, as I stated to my friend, is then we need to agree to disagree and not open these points for discussion ever again. I mean, one has to look and ask the question, am I shit for brains? Interestingly enough, the number of these contentious points increases with our every conversation. Charles and his friend are moving apart together. And so one wonders, be it he or me. This, my friends, he says, is part of critical thinking. The objective analysis and evaluation of an issue in order to form or change a judgment or that opinion. You see, there's a problem with any intransigence. It ignores the possibility that you may be wrong in your assessments or position. It eliminates compromise or negotiated agreement. But curiously, the investigation can prove the validity of your premise. I mean, after all, Aristotle once said, it is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. Last week, Charles was speaking with a gentleman that maintains Charles's pool. Had a day worker with him. Helper is an invader, that's undocumented immigrant, from Honduras. So Charles and his guy talk about the massive number of people from villages and towns that come to America from all over South and Central America specifically. Charles asks how they enlist and coordinate everyone and start their migration journey. How do they coordinate all of this? These were his exact words. He said they advertise it. They tell everyone when and where to meet and then guide the groups to assigned assembly points. From there, it's just a long, long walk. We leave everything behind because of what they promise to give everyone when we live in America, when they arrive in America, end quote. Charles didn't pursue the question. He had work to do. This guy came to Arizona to support his family, a wife, a daughter, and twin boys, in hopes of becoming a citizen to bring his family here eventually. Today's labor pays him what he made in a month in Honduras. Yes, he said, it was worth the trip to help his family. In Charles' mind, his solution of the dilemma was wrong to me because it's illegal and ethically the incorrect way to become an American. Done things that compromise my ethics for the sake of my family, but never illegal. I'm not this man's judge, nor do I wish to be, Charles says, but when dire times require drastic measures, which of you would make a different decision, to be honest? Charles says he's not defending this man or his actions. He's trying to put this into context. Is all of this his fault or ours? Who actually created and reinforces the circumstances creating this mass invasion? Who canceled the laws protecting our republic from invading migrants? Who refused to take corrective actions to stem this increasing tide? Who continually lies about their ability to take these corrective actions? Who's responsible for facilitating this illegal importation of people? Who refuses to accept culpability? We are. We have met the enemy, and he is us. Since we hire the people that caused this disaster, and we allow them to continue, we are responsible for this travesty, my friends. As our employees, we are responsible for them and for their actions. If you recall, we the people elect our representatives in this constitutional republic. So they are our employees since our taxes pay their salaries. They work for us. And by allowing this invasion to continue, they are in breach of contract, violating our Constitution and their oath of office. Charles won't belabor this by quoting the oath. Let's just say that every one of them that does nothing to stop this violation of our sovereignty is guilty, and guilty as hell. And they should be removed from office and summarily punished. They're guilty of dereliction of duty and violating a sacred oath. Where the hell's the public outrage, people? Or don't you care that they will turn these laws against us? You don't think so? What did our leadership do to those who visited the Capitol on January the 6th? There's sufficient evidence to indict and prosecute several congressional members and their staff. What about the weaponized governmental departments and their complicity to this spectacle? Our government, the people we trust to uphold our Constitution, violate it every damn day, and we allow it. And we purposefully disregard it and ignore it and don't do a damn thing to stop it. A crumbling republic is the return on our investment. Again, where's the public outrage? Our continued use of illegal drugs, our reticence to assume responsibility for using these substances and immoral services is irresponsible and reprehensible. How can we condemn someone for fulfilling the needs we create and for servicing our desires? Is there a need or desire? Someone will fill it. That's it. In a nutshell. The cartels are meeting our demand, not only for illegal drugs, but for cheap labor, sex slaves, pedophilia. Let's not disregard the millions of potential voters poised to influence elections and the balance of the state's power by adding millions of people to the census. There's a hostile paramilitary foreign army infiltrating our country. Can you guess what their plan is? They willingly, eagerly opened the door for them. Who did that? Each of these demands and desires or mistakes could make an entire article of its own, but the demand for these and other illegally trafficked items and substances and the responsible people is within our control. Eliminating the demand will eliminate the supply. I mean, look, consider the buggy whip. When horse-drawn carriages were the primary means of transportation, buggy whips were a necessity. But as the automobile became popular, the need for buggy whips dissipated because no one needed or wanted them. It's kind of the same with our need for unlawful substances and the immorality we demand and support. Personally, I like the idea of whooping out the buggy whips and getting after our elected officials. Whip the crap out of them. Because you see, as long as Americans condone the perversions of child sex, the sex slave trade, cheap labor, tipping the balance of partisan political power, we will continue importing people for those purposes, and the cartels will be our willing and delighted vendor. And where do they find their cargo? I mean, the cartels go to the destitute, underdeveloped third world countries. They advertise, they lie, they mislead these desperate people, tricking them into indentured servitude, like most unscrupulous businesses and governments, including ours. When the bargain is struck for transport, the people become chattel. The property of the cartel, to be sold to the highest bidder or used as mules to transport illegal substances or act as chaperones of unaccompanied children bound for who knows that and delivered to their handlers in America. Oh yeah, that's right. Their handlers in America are mostly Americans. Yeah. Do you know that somewhere between the Mexican border and America, according to nationalist propaganda radio, that's NPR, our government has misplaced over 85,000 unaccompanied children between 2021 and 2022. 750,000 children have been placed with sponsors since 2012. Officials released 2.3 million children into the United States between 2021 and 2023. 72% of the minors are traveling alone. Advertised? Advertised? Yes, naive and oblivious Americans. The Mexican drug cartels are advertising. It's business. Of course they advertise. How do you imagine they grow their business? The same way we do here in America. They advertise. Look, there's wild speculations about cartel revenues ranging from a few hundred million to 500 billion bucks for human trafficking. And most sources agree that cartel smuggling revenue from 2021 to the present is about 13 billion big ones a year. That's close to 40 billion so far. And the invasion continues unabated with the added support of hostile foreign governments. Oh, yeah, man. Drug smuggling is unbelievably lucrative. Between $200 billion to $750 billion annually. Would you trust a drug dealer to tell the truth? Closing the border would not only slow the supply, but never stop it completely. That was the PASE's solution, to slow but not stop the flow. There's way too much money being made trafficking and supplying the deviant needs of Americans. Everyone involved makes money. How does a high-level government official live a lavish lifestyle at only $250,000 annual salary? Screw them. To completely halt the flow, we need to put an end to the demand. And when we read about the rising number of deaths caused by illegal substance use, I become appalled. But it wasn't my decision to use that illegal substance. I have feelings for the families and the loved ones, but using these dangerous and addictive substances is a personal choice. No one forced them into it. Jumping out of a perfectly functional and operating aircraft is exhilarating, but extremely dangerous. Charles speaks from personal experience. Qualifying for flight status required him to learn what to do in an emergency situation should the need arise. Pucker Factory 99. If there had been a lump of coal in his sphincter, he would have shit a diamond. There are those of you who would understand the meaning of all that. Charles cannot comprehend activities like base jumping and sport parachute jumping or running with the bulls. They're kind of an enormous adrenaline rush, but, you know, kind of much like the rush a narcotic user gets when that first hit. And the adrenaline rush is where the addiction arises, takes hold. It's like the big score at a bet in Vegas or on the betting pool at work. It's a rush to be sure that it becomes uncontrollable and irresistible for some. The caveat is, the house always wins. The house in these examples is the substance or activity of the cartel that draws you in. Now you're hooked. America's addicted. Addicted to pornography, pedophilia, prostitution, drugs, cheap labor, quick riches, lotteries, power parlays, and more things than we've got time to list. And the only way to eliminate their importation and the underground businesses supply them is to eliminate the demand. We cannot or won't do it because there's too damn much profit in it. Why haven't we cured cancer? Because it's all about the profit and keeping people out of big pharma and the medical industry's complex tit. The solution is ours, not the government's. They make too much money from these activities to want to stop them. As long as they get paid, they don't give a damn. It's their passive income. But there are a few honest public servants, but the other 99% give them a bad name by association. They fight the good fight but lose to the majority, like those of us that continue to write and broadcast articles like this to make you aware of what you can't, don't, or won't see. We try desperately to open your eyes and your minds, but it seems to be a losing battle. We're few in number, and the masses are huge, distracted by the corporate media complex and the partisan politicians' hypocrisy, deception, and pretense. I frequently find myself asking, why bother? Charles Dickens. Have a good evening, my friends. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
These are the days of the open hand. We will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man. whose place is in the past. Hand in hand with ignorance and legitimate excuses, the rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have it too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. Wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Do-do-do-oh. Or do you think we have time? Do you? To what you can, and charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. Yeah, this is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door. Say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chances. Say, I sang it 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love. Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to woe, there is no hope to speak out. And the wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.